This is Mishmash, a weekly conversation where we try to unjumble an important and sometimes under-the-radar statewide story that affects you. I'm Shayna Roth.
And I'm Zach Gordshaw. It's May in Michigan, and that can only mean one thing.
It's time to cut the grass while debating whether you can really put the snow thrower away for the season.
Yes. And it's also time for the annual Mackinac Policy Conference. Though your thing might apply to more people. Anyway, the MPC is the yearly gathering on the island of the biggest names in Michigan politics.
We're talking the governor will be there, many, many state lawmakers, most of Michigan's congresspeople, people running for office, mayors, more, and this year, me. So, Zach, as we look ahead to this annual schmooze fest filled with fudge, what are you looking out for?
Well, I'm wondering to what extent we will see the deep Democratic divisions about the effectiveness of using taxpayer-funded grants to attract and retain business expansions to our state show up. You know, the governor, as we've discussed on this show many times, wants to retain the ability to award large grants, even in the hundreds of millions of dollars, to win big projects. Many of her fellow Democrats in the legislature, however, would prefer to spend that money in other ways they say would enhance communities.
For more than 10 years, a constant refrain at these conferences has been about the need to attract talent, which is just a fancy way of talking about how to convince the brightest minds in America to live and work in Michigan. The state has tried a variety of different tactics. None have seemed to truly reverse 50 years of population stagnation. We asked Brad Williams, Vice President for Government Relations at the Detroit Regional Chamber, about the emphasis in recent years on attracting talent, and here's what he said.
Let's not forget that, you know, this year in the budget, there was a significant proposal on Universal Community College, and that's something that, you know, we at the chamber think is a worthwhile project. And, you know, the Senate has put together a proposal that I think is, you know, reflective of that conversation. So, you know, let's not forget, that's a pretty big step forward as far as increasing Michigan's talent pool. And what that council did, it bit off a pretty big bite from a policy perspective. So to ask the legislature to do all of that in year one, you know, is a pretty big ask. If we can get this community college proposal over the line this year, I think that's a pretty big win.
I'm also interested to see what the U.S. Senate debate looks like and if all six invited candidates, three from each party, agree to participate. If so, it would really kick off the campaign season, particularly if the front runners for the two parties, Republican Mike Rogers and Democrat Alyssa Slotkin, are there.
So, Zach, really important question. Are you a fudge or saltwater taffy person? I personally prefer taffy, just not the banana ones.
Well, I celebrate all Mackinac treats, but if you make me pick, I've got to go with the Saunders Bumpy Cake Fudge.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we get back, our other Mishmash host, Alethea Kasman, will be joining us for a little behind-the-scenes roundtable on Mackinac. And then Zach and I will be joined by Brad Williams of the Detroit Regional Chamber to give us the inside scoop on the organization's Mackinac Confab. Stick around.
I want to tell you about a new investigative podcast called She Has a Name. It's about a young mother who disappeared in Detroit in the summer of 1987. She Has a Name tells the story of loss and redemption, mending broken family ties, and facing the trauma experienced by countless individuals who've lost loved ones to violence. Join host Tanya Mosley and her nephew Antonio as they unravel the secrets of what happened to Anita Wiley. You can search for She Has a Name in your podcast app.
Welcome back to Mishmash. I'm Shayna Roth.
And I'm Zach Gordshaw, and we're joined now by our other host, Alethea Kasman.
Hello, so excited to have the whole band together today.
I am thrilled, and we are talking about Mackinac Island, and, you know, sort of as part of this whole conversation, I'm wearing, if you watch the YouTube, you can see it, my Michigander sweatshirt. because we're talking all things Michigan, Mackinac Island. And this is my first time going to the MPC.
Oh, boy.
I know. Shocking. I've been covering Michigan politics for many, many years. But this is my first time going to the island. And I wanted to talk to you both as people who have gone multiple times. And I want to get a sense of what I should expect, what I should look for, and really talk about what the deal is with this big party. So I guess let's start with the central question, which for you guys as reporters, what is the point of the MPC?
Well, I think the big idea is to get all the movers and shakers kind of locked in the same hotel, that being the big grand hotel, the beautiful hotel with the porch, in one place, and try to work on the top issues in the Metro Detroit region and the state overall. Sometimes there is some success with this. Many times there is not, and it ends up just being a chance for everyone to see and be seen.
Yeah, I mean, I think at its core, this is a networking event. Mm. I mean, you have the governor, usually almost every lawmaker, department directors, the attorney general, the secretary of state. I mean, you have all of these people on one island in a more casual environment. Yes, they're talking about, you know, issues of the day, but they're also just, you know, getting to know each other, floating issues. You know, it's just a very different environment than being, you know, at the Capitol.
Right. And while Mishmash is certainly going to take, you know, advantage of having access to these people, we are scheduling interviews. We are going to be cranking out some episodes as a result of the policy conference. I mean, I remember when I was at Michigan Public Radio Network, news seemed to just kind of grind to a halt for that whole week. I mean, as the person who always had to stay back, I was just often just wandering around the office going, can something happen? Nothing's happening. I mean, is that good for political news to just sort of stop for a week?
Well, it's just different. You're right. Like, you know, Lansing really kind of shuts down, and, you know, Metro Detroit news too, because you've got the mayor, the county executives for all three big counties go up there, members of the Detroit City Council, and pretty much the state's entire new, you know, political and business media goes up there as well. So it in a way, it's great because you have this, you know, unique access as journalists to all of the policymakers up there that you wouldn't ordinarily get. You know, you can be walking along the porch and there's the mayor of Detroit, or there's the Wayne County executive. There's the CEO of an important business. You know, usually these are folks who are not that accessible. So from a news, you know, gathering standpoint, it can be very interesting. And oftentimes what we tell our reporters who are up there is the most important stories are not the ones on the stage or part of the agenda. It's what are people talking about behind the scenes, and go figure that out.
Right. And I think, you know, for the people who stay in Lansing, it's very nice that all of the news is up on the island and you can just kind of relax in Lansing and what is normally a busy time because it's in the middle of the budget and all these other things are going on. And, you know, some years there is still a lot of news here. This hasn't happened in a while. It hasn't happened under, I don't think, Governor Whitmer, but under Governor Snyder, when they were arguing over the Detroit Community Schools legislation, House Republicans just didn't go up. Mm. They stayed here. They were kind of at an impasse, a disagreement with Snyder and the Senate. So they stayed here and did a lot of things in Lansing. So we can kind of tell you, too, if there's a divide or if people are, you know, getting along at this time.
Well, and to be clear, usually the event is driven in some way by the current governor. You know, when Rick Snyder was governor, he took great interest and involvement in helping to plan the agenda. And it definitely, you know, the governor always gives a keynote address. You know, whoever the governor is, that is coloring the whole event. And the same thing with Governor Whitmer. And, you know, you tend to see when there's a Republican in the governor's office, it's more of a Republican event, more Republicans are up there. And the opposite, you know, now with Governor Whitmer in there, it tends to be more of a Democratic event. But the chamber really does try to make it bipartisan. You know, they've got, you know, Republicans will be on the stage and involved because that's very important to them.
Now, I want to go back to something that you said, which is that a lot of the news or like the interesting bits that come out of the conference are not really things that happen on the stage. And I mean, there are quite a number of presentations and press conferences scheduled. Do we ever actually get anything out of those types of events?
I think we do. So there's kind of a difference in events, I think, on the island. So there's the things that are on the agenda, the things that are scheduled, you know, all the stuff we can see right now. A lot of that, you know, can be, there's some interesting panels. There's certainly, you know, debates, things like that, that can really drive news. I think the newsiest things from a reporter's perspective are the things that are called last minute. So like last year, Governor Whitmer announced her population council and tasked them with the report. That wasn't, you know, on the agenda before. That was like a week long. She kind of leaked it. Oh, what's going to happen? She's going to announce this on Thursday. And then she did. And then the economic development kind of strategy shift first started to come out during Mackinac last year when legislative Democrats and the governor had this really sort of vague press conference, but they were saying, you know, essentially, we want to move to focus on people and community versus like big spending projects for corporations kind of thing, which really was the first show of like legislative Democrats saying, we really want to change where we're going with economic development.
You know, it was so interesting. I was rereading the story. I think you wrote about that last year, Alethea. And at the time, we were both just sort of laughing, like, this is your typical Mackinac press conference, much ado about nothing. It's a press conference. They're calling economic development now, make it in Michigan with no details at all. But as you were just mentioning, if you go back and read that story, you can see the seeds of this division that has now become a dominant story in Lansing this year on economic development. You could see the legislative Democrats are talking about new ways to direct funds to build communities. But Governor Whitmer, you could see her comments were, we're still talking about projects. I think her quote was something like, projects are the key, right? Projects. And boy, there is a big disagreement about that right now. And that's turned out to be a really interesting event, just not in the way I think they intended at the time.
Yeah, at the time it was a very vague press conference, maybe a 3 out of 10. There were a lot of reporters afterwards who were like, what was that? But now we can see, you know, in the whole picture, it was, you know, a lot more interesting.
Do you guys think the governor's going to sign anything on the island this year? I know that, what was it, a few years ago, there was the big auto no-fault legislation getting signed, which was like, ha-ha, there's no cars on this island, and we're signing an auto bill. Ta-da! I mean, well, is there anything looking like that for this year?
There's nothing that's getting that type of buzz. You know, Governor Engler was a huge fan. You know, he was a big believer in this conference of, you know, rushing something through the legislature in late May because he wanted to be able to sign it on the island. Maybe it was a tax break or something like tax cut, something like that. And definitely that was a big point of emphasis for Governor Whitmer and the legislature leading up to that auto insurance legislation. She wanted to be able to sign it on the porch at the Grand Hotel. Right now, there's not a lot of talk like that, but I certainly wouldn't rule anything out. You know, again, you get the whole state's media up there that, you know, all these elected officials know this is like a once a year opportunity to get, you know, really splashy coverage for what they're doing.
Yeah. I mean, the population council was technically an executive order that she did sign. So I don't know if we'll have big legislation signed into law, but she could, you know, sign an order or, you know, a piece of paper. She could sign something.
I'm sure somebody somewhere can find something for her, a piece of paper and a pen. Okay, so what is the number one piece of advice that you guys have for me as a new person covering it? The one very, very big piece of advice that I've gotten from a friend of mine who has long gone to Mackinac Island was to wear comfy shoes. And so I have that one down. What else you guys
got? Good.
So a couple of things. One, you know, definitely bring an umbrella to the island with you. There's few things worse than making the walk in the rain from wherever you're staying up to the Grand Hotel and back. So be prepared for that. And then be prepared for what I like to call conversation face-off in the Grand Hotel. This will be when you run into someone you know, you know, maybe in the lobby or on the porch of the hotel, and you'll find after about 45 to 60 seconds, they start looking over your shoulder at who they want to talk to next. And, you know, maybe that's just me. Maybe it only happens to me, but I do believe, but I do think it happens to everyone when they, especially reporters, when they go there, like, people are happy to talk to you for a bit, but they also know they've got business to do and they're going to keep moving.
So don't take it personally.
Right.
Yeah. Brush up on your small talk. Have maybe, you know, have topics ready to go. Comfy shoes is good. Umbrella is good. I mean, just stay hydrated and eat lots of snacks, which Shayna, I know you're a snack queen. You'll be good.
I'm known for my snacks.
You know, they are long days and don't stay out too late until Thursday. Thursday is fine. But
well, if you do like a late night island slice pizza, the post bar scene at 2 a.m. I might have done that once. So that's a rite of passage you might want to consider.
Amazing. All right. Well, thank you to you both. Listeners, stay tuned. We now have mine and Zach's interview with Brad Williams.
Brad Williams, welcome to Mishmash.
I am happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, before we begin, I want to note that Brad and I are both charter members of the Lansing chapter of Lou Whitaker Belongs in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Amen. I have an autograph bat next to my Alan Trammell autograph bat in my office. There's two Hall of Famers right next to each other.
That is awesome. But until Lou finally gets inducted, we will get down to the business at hand. Shayna.
Yes. Brad, you are Vice President of Government Relations for the Detroit Regional Chamber. That means you are living, breathing, and sleeping all things Mackinac right now. But what in your mind is the point of the Mackinac Policy Conference? Number one, why Mackinac Island?
Well, I mean, the best part about Mackinac Island is that you can't get away from each other, right? And I think that is the point, right? All of Michigan's movers and shakers, whether they be business leaders, academic leaders, philanthropic leaders, or government leaders, are on an island together for 3 days in the middle of Lake Huron. And the proximity and the geography really lend themselves to a level of conversation that we just can't have back home. And we all understand how this happens. You know, it's easy to say, I'm really going to focus on networking, but life gets in the way, whether it's a meeting back at the office or our kids' soccer game. We always tend to take our meetings, well, I can do this on Teams, or I can skip this networking reception. But when you're on an island, these conversations happen. I had a conversation just a few years ago. I had some colleagues from the Atlanta Chamber who wanted to see how we did this. And Congressman Bill Huizenga was there, and he mentioned how oftentimes he will connect through Detroit when he's flying to Washington so he can do some meetings with stakeholders in Detroit. But he mentioned he gets more done with Detroit stakeholders in one day at the Mackinac Policy Conference than he can in 1 year of those types of meetings. So I think that is the magic. That's why we do it. And that's why it's always successful.
So this conference has been taking place for many, many, many years. In your time involved with it, which is quite a while now, what would you say has been its greatest policy success to date?
Well, oh man, that is a hard one to answer, Zach. I think, you know, when I think back over the 16 years I've been involved with this, and I'm thinking back just today, some news that broke. It came out that Detroit increased its population 0.3% this year. It's not a lot, but it's something. And I think back to just a decade ago, a little bit over a decade ago, when we were in the throes of bankruptcy, and we were working on the grand bargain in that hotel, trying to get the bankruptcy solved, get the $300 million from the state to get the bankruptcy solved. I think you can't look at the success of the conference without looking at the success of Detroit's comeback. As we were sitting in the chamber offices with the chamber executive committee overlooking the NFL draft just a few weeks ago and seeing the difference between where we hosted the NFL in 2006 versus how we hosted the NFL in 2024, where we didn't have to paper over windows to hide our vacant buildings. We were showing Detroit as it is, and we're growing. That to me is the success of Mackinac as a policy generator.
Last year, one of the big highlights was the governor appointing the Growing Michigan Together Council, which is the latest attempt to figure out how to reverse 50 years of population stagnation in Michigan. The council issued its report in December, but it doesn't feel like a lot of actual policy has come out of it. I mean, I know Detroit has increased its population, but we're not really seeing a lot of here's what we can do. Where do you think Michigan stands on attracting talented people to the state?
Well, I think it's, it is a work in progress, and, I won't speak for the governor as to what her investment is in the outcomes. But let's not forget that, this year in the budget, there was a significant proposal on Universal Community College. And that's something that, we at the chamber think is a worthwhile project. And, the Senate has put together a proposal that I think is, reflective of that conversation. So, let's not forget that's a pretty big step forward as far as increasing Michigan's talent pool. And what that council did, it bit off a pretty big bite from a policy perspective. So to ask the legislature to do all of that in year one, is a pretty big ask. If we can get this community college proposal over the line this year, I think that's a pretty big win. So let's take this as it goes.
On that community college proposal, so far the legislature has resisted approving it. They have not put it in their version of the budget so far. Of course, as many people would say, and you're a former legislative staffer, people will say this is just the first step in the budget process. That being said, it was a little surprising they didn't jump at it, at least to me. What do you make of the situation?
Well, I think, Senator McCann has a proposal in his budget that certainly reflects the values of what the governor proposed. So I think there's something to work with in the Senate proposal. So I don't think we should write off what the legislature has put in their budget. And you're right. We are one step along in the process. Of course, we're here on Thursday. By the time this is posted, we'll have its consensus revenue estimating conference day. So we don't know what the revenues are going to look like tomorrow. That certainly is going to change the conversation too. So I think, there's a long way to go before we get to the finish line. There's a lot of people at the table. And so I think, ultimately, at the end of the day, I expect this to be a serious part of the conversation.
The Mackinac Policy Conference itself is a very bipartisan event. That's sort of by design. In a time when Republicans and Democrats, however, keep moving further and further apart, how is an event like this even possible?
Well, our theme is building bridges together. And it's difficult, right? Because you're right. This is especially divisive time in Lansing, in Washington, in Metro Detroit, and in the world. But we go out of our way to build a program that is appealing to both sides. That's why we have someone like Speaker Paul Ryan on the stage. That is why we are inviting members of both parties from our congressional delegation to be on the stage. Our Democratic senators, Senator Peters and Senator Stabenow, to be on the stage with Congressman Wahlberg and Congresswoman McClain to talk about how our congressional delegation is working well together. Because I think if you turn on, whether it's Fox News or MSNBC, you're going to see, our members of the Michigan delegation getting on those programs talking about divisiveness. That's how you get onto cable news. But what they spend most of their time doing is working on Michigan-centric issues, whether it's things like the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative or making Michigan more attractive to manufacturers. So we're going to highlight those types of issues. I think another thing that's going to be attractive is the Senate debate that we're doing on the last day. We're formatting this similar to how we did things in 2018, if you'll recall, the gubernatorial debate. We're putting all candidates on stage simultaneously, and that's intentional. You know, of course, there's a primary election to go before the general election happens, but we want candidates to speak to the full spectrum of the electorate, even as they are facing a primary electorate. So we are trying to encourage our policymakers to talk about the things that are interesting to the 80% of Michiganders that aren't interested in divisive issues, that are interested in things like the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative, interested in economic development, interested in expanding our talent pool. So that's how we make it possible, and that's why this conference is successful.
Do you worry, though, Brad, that the far ends of each party are less interested in these kinds of events? And you've probably got some Republicans out there who would say, well, this is an example of the uniparty, the idea that there's only one political party out there. Or that, you know, there's various Democrats will be like, well, I'm not going to support big corporation type events. I'm not going to this.
Yeah, it's always it's a constant worry, Zach. And that's why I think we have to continue to push the pressure on in general elections to make sure that the 80% who aren't reflective of those types of values are listened to. And, you know, I think when you look at you know, I'm going to, you know, maybe get a little bit more political now. But when you look at the Chamber's Political Action Committee, the choices that the Chamber's Political Action Committee make is pretty reflective of those values to ensure that, you know, the people who are in the 80% are the people that we're lifting up. And those are the people who are getting leadership positions, you know, here in Lansing and in Washington. You know, it's not easy, but I think those are the types of values that we hold. But I am concerned about it. Yeah, it's a constant concern.
The Detroit Regional Chamber has endorsed Governor Whitmer twice. How do you think she's done so far? And what are you hoping to see achieved in her final 2.5 years in office?
You know, we've had a number of successes under Governor Whitmer. I think about, you know, in particular, the expansion of Michigan Reconnect and the ability for more folks to be able to get to community college, the expansion of the Elliott Larson Civil Rights Act to include the LGBTQ plus community under our civil rights. The ability to be more attractive to more people and expand our talent pool is certainly, you know, off the top of my head, the things that are huge wins for the chamber and things that we will, you know, immediately log as wins with Governor Whitmer. There are, you know, some things where, you know, we have expressed some discontent. You know, and right to work is certainly one of those things that jumps to mind off the top of my head. That is something that we've said we think makes Michigan less competitive. Certainly, you know, we knew as soon as there was a Democratic trifecta that was a top value of theirs, and it was going to be the top of their list. But we made our opinions known, you know, the chips fell where they did.
Are you concerned, though, that with the Democrats controlling the legislature, you mentioned the repeal of right to work, there's a lot of other things that are circulating around, things like paid family leave that the business community has, you know, reacted very negatively to. And I'm sure you hear the Republicans out there saying that, you know, Governor Whitmer's economic policies have been a mistake. What do you say to all of that?
Well, I think there's two ways that we can handle these types of issues. There are you see it all the time. There are bills that get introduced that run counter to the interests of the business community, and there are two things that we can do. We can speak outwardly and loudly, and through the press, and speak with speak with USAC and issue press releases. And sometimes we do that. Sometimes that's the most effective tool. And sometimes it's a more quiet conversation, you know, either with the bill sponsor, the committee chair, or members of leadership, and see if we can kind of tamp down an issue that way. So far on many issues, we've had a lot of success. Issues like right to work, I think we were facing down a pretty rapidly moving train, and we didn't have much hope from the beginning. But there are other issues where, you know, we're using a lot of different tools in our toolbox, and, you know, sometimes we're successful, sometimes we're not. But, you know, we're trying our best to represent the people who pay our bills.
Do you ever vacation in Mackinac, or is setting up and running point on this conference more than enough of your yearly Mackinac fill?
So that is an excellent question, Shana. I have, so my in-laws have a cottage in Mackinac City, ironically enough. So I have more pictures of the Mackinac Bridge than I care to share. And I am a native of Charlevoix, so I actually do spend a lot of time in northern Michigan. My daughter is a ski racer, so we go up to Petoskey, Harbor Springs area all the time in the wintertime. So I spend a lot of time there. Mackinac Island, I don't think I've been to recreationally since I have worked at the chamber, though.
Well, thanks for joining us, Brad. Great to have you here. And Shana, we'll maybe see you up on the island.
I will look for you on the island.
I will see you on the island, too.
That's it for us this week. Mishmash is produced by WDET, Detroit's NPR station, in collaboration with the amazing Gongwer News Service. Mishmash is hosted and produced by me, Shana Roth, and Gongwer's Zach Gorchow and Alethea Kasman.
Additional production and editing by Hearns Laguerre Jr., mixing, mastering, and music by Sam Bobian.
Our digital team is Dave Kim, Sophia Joswiak, and Jenny Sherman. Our news director is Jerome Vaughn, and our podcast manager is David Lyons. As always, if you listen to this podcast and want to support it, you can do so by leaving us a review or comment wherever you listen. You can also subscribe or follow us on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, basically wherever you get your podcasts.
Tell your friends about how much you've learned from Mishmash and send them a link. Learn more about Gongwer News Service at GONGWER.com.
Remember, we're produced by a public radio station, which means we are listener supported. So if you really, really like this show, and we really, really hope you do, you can support WDET by going to WDET.org/give. We'll talk to you next week.